All right. Hi, this is Peter Imber with the Elfster podcast. I'm the founder and CEO of Elfster, and I am thrilled today to have renowned marketing guru and thought leader, Mark Hughes, with us today. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Peter.
And the reason we've got Mark with us today is that just about exactly 15 years ago today, for a period of time in 2005, Mark was the mastermind of a campaign that made headlines all over the world. This tiny town of Santa, Idaho, was proposed and voted to be renamed to SecretSanta.com, Idaho. And, you know, 2005 is so long ago. You know, putting that all in perspective, I believe Elon Musk was probably at PayPal still while working for eBay. I think that the Slack guys had just exited to Yahoo, selling their Flickr application. Twitter wasn't even started, and Mark Zuckerberg was probably still in his dorm room contemplating moving out to California. So this was like such a world away from where we are today, and making absolute buzz headlines all around the world was a renaming of Santa, Idaho to SecretSanta.com, Idaho. This was the work of SecretSanta.com was the startup of Franco and Paulo Uvienco. And they had teamed up to launch a huge marketing campaign. Mark Hughes was going to be the mastermind behind that. So, Mark, with that backdrop, tell me, if you will, about how you came to be aware of SecretSanta.com and Franco Uvienco.
Well, I'd been consulting for a company that that Franco Uvienco was working for, and in the course of that got to know Paulo pretty well as well, and we were just kind of of the same mind, entrepreneurial, performance marketers, but also at the same time appreciated the big idea of marketing. And they introduced me to Secret Santa, and I thought it was just a wonderful piece of technology to kind of make gift giving easier and take it out of the kind of the hat and crumpled pieces of paper and whatnot, and especially for families and nowadays workplaces that are remote and wide. Today, it's not as likely that you can crumple a piece of paper up or fold a piece of paper up and toss it in a hat. Everything's, Zoom and remote and whatnot. So, I was just tickled with the technology of Secret Santa, and, they said, hey, what can you, do you have any ideas and what can you do? And, a bit earlier, actually about 5 years earlier, and again, as you mentioned, this is all kind of pre-social media. Zuckerberg was probably still stuck in a dirty dorm room with a dirty microwave. and so I said, well, I wonder if I could make lightning strike twice. And Peter, when I say that, just 5 years before, I'd have the privilege to be kind of the VP of marketing and I guess PR for a company called Half.com, which we later sold to eBay for north of $300 million. And we were in a situation back then where we were in stealth mode. There was no marketing going on at the time, and we needed to kind of launch the brand. And so that was what Franco and Paulo were interested in kind of doing themselves, although the domain name was up and the technology was working. They never kind of put a big push behind it. So we kicked around the idea perhaps. And at half.com, I renamed a town called Halfway Oregon, a few states over, to half.com Oregon. And it was my boss, and hats off to my boss then, Josh Koppelman, who now runs a venture capital fund called First Round VC. And, you know, he kind of pushed me to my edge. And so hats off to him. And there was, you know, some spreadsheet math behind it in terms of, hey, you could spend some marketing dollars on acquiring customers, and paid search would cost this and display would cost this. And there was this one line item called, you know, kind of PR word of mouth. And that was, you know, a line item that had little cost associated and potentially big return. And so I set out back then, 5 years prior to kind of naming Santa, Idaho, to secretsanta.com, Idaho, I proceeded to go and rename Halfway Oregon to half.com Oregon. And boy, we created quite a stir of controversy. And you know, it was hard. You know, you have, you know, people from the West and some, you know, kind of noname.com, at least at the time, from the East Coast, you know, who are these Yankees to come in and, you know, rename our town and take our namesake, and, you know, that's un-American perhaps, and lots of different opinions, but certainly a lot of controversy, and it was very audacious. I think the last time anyone had done it was perhaps in New Mexico in like 1935. And I forget the name of the town there. I think it was the name of the game show. But it was kind of a interesting just idea. We're trying to put our name on the map. And then I said, well, why don't we, you know, let's just do that. Let's put our, you know, kind of brand on the map. And so back then, that's what I set out to do, and you know, convinced the town of a population 350 Halfway Oregon to rename their town, and it got us on. We had our pick of all the TV networks, so we picked at that time Katie Couric and the Today Show. We gave them the exclusive if they would do the story with our CEO Josh Koppelman on the day that we launched. We were everywhere. We were in the cover of USAtoday.com. We were in China Press, Czechoslovakian Press, I mean, everywhere. We later got named one of the top 100 kind of time moment, internet moments of history, period. And so that was a wild ride. We sold the company. We caught the attention of eBay very quickly after the renaming of the town. And then we sold the company about within 6 months for north of $300 million to eBay. So it's one of those things, Peter, where, you think, was it just a one hit wonder, like, you know, Sixpence None the Richer, or pick the name of your band and yeah, your hit song? Or could you possibly, with SecretSanta.com and Santa, Idaho, make lightning strike twice? And
well, I so know, it was one of those, you know, I will say, from, you know, sitting where I was, and at that time, a competitor, now friend of Franco's, I saw this story everywhere. It really took off. I believe I was traveling internationally. I saw it on a CNN, you know, video board. It had really taken off. So you're kind of making lightning strike, it seems, a second time.
We really did, and it was, you know, there's an element of luck to it, certainly, but, you know, as the saying goes, you make your own luck, and it was a gusher of a kind of event and a story, and I think the numbers, you know, I'll be happy to go into kind of, you know, some of the more quirky stories of Santa, Idaho, and some of the people that we met, but the numbers, just at a high level, it went from, you know, almost nothing, I would say, I mean, not nothing, but, you know, kind of word of mouth, just regular, hey, there's this cool site called secretcenter.com that makes everything easier. Got White Elephant, Yankee Swap, all that stuff. And I think it was maybe, Franco's probably got the numbers, but I think it was maybe like, you know, a couple hundred people a day. And Peter, after the news hit on CNN, Word in Public Radio, and then the Associated Press in a very short amount of time, it went from a couple hundred a day, I think, to over 100,000 people per day signing up. And I didn't, it's kind of funny because, you know, I'm out there kind of trudging around, shaking hands and, you know, proverbially kissing babies and, you know, having coffee with people and whatnot. And in a remote area with not very good internet access. And almost always, you know, I come back to New York where Franco and Paulo were. And then I get, you know, the real data and I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah, it was a gusher of an event, and it was, you know, it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun at the same time.
Now, you know, as I recall it, and this was almost like a slow, water drip torture for me at the time, is that this story went on and on and on. First, there was a suggestion of the possibility, and then a vote of the county leaders, and then the public hearing. Well, there was maybe a public hearing, then a vote, and then a ceremony. I mean, it went on for weeks, and it stayed in the top of the headlines all that time.
It's like kind of a reality show unfolding in real life over, you know, kind of 6 weeks or so. And it's the same thing that happened with, you know, before 5 years earlier. The intricacies of it were the township of Santa, Idaho actually was not incorporated itself. I think it actually was incorporated, but the ruling body of Santa, Idaho within the county, the only kind of body with any authority was the Santa Water and Sewer District Commission. Okay. So they made, essentially, they acted as the town selectmen and the mayor, et cetera. So it was this kind of very odd, you know, body that would have the vote. And you're exactly right, Peter. I think I made about three trips separately from the East Coast, you know, flying into either Seattle or Spokane, and then kind of renting a car and going past Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, all the way in there, you know, with very bad kind of reception. And it was, you know, it was very similar to the, you know, 5 years earlier in terms of just, you know, the audacity of it, first of all, and then the head scratching in Santa, Idaho, like, you want to do what? And they're like, why do you want to do this? And like, well, it's really just a big press event. We're trying to get attention for, you know, secretsanta.com. And they're like, so that's it. There's no cash. Like, nope, that's about it. And I remember the very first, you know, meeting I had was with a guy who ran kind of the very small office of the Chamber of Commerce for Santa, Idaho. And he was like, okay, so you did this before in Halfway Oregon, right? Half.com Oregon. So you got a track record here. Like, okay. And he did a little internet research. He's like, okay, I'm in. But then he's like, now we got to get everyone else in. And so then the journey begins. And, you know, I don't know if it's like the apostle, you know, kind of Paul trying to convince other people, probably not, but it becomes kind of a humanization, if you will, of an idea, of a very audacious idea. So people then read about it in the small town newspaper. Word of mouth travels fast. This is, again, before social media. Word of mouth travels fast in small towns. And then there's confusion, perhaps there's anger, then there's, you know, puzzlement, and there's fear, and a whole kind of host of emotions. And then the process is actually somewhat similar, you know, again, 5 years ago, is then, you know, what I want to do is I want to find influencers. And who are the people in Santa, Idaho that everyone else looks up to? And if they say Bob is okay with it, then I guess I'm okay with it. Or if they say Mary's okay with it, then I'm okay with it. And in Santa, Idaho is a whole host of figures. And you can't really predict who it would be. It's not always, you know, the police chief or whatever it is. So I went around and kind of humanized the idea, just saying, hey, my name's Mark Hughes, and I'm I'm the guy trying to rename this town. And what do you think about it? And so I would meet people like a guy named Joe Croft. And Joe Croft and his wife, what they do in Santa, Idaho, is they kind of they are kind of book people, in terms of they make hand-sewn books. They rehab old, you know, kind of leather book-bound books that have been, you know, kind of experienced damage through just age or water damage or mildew or whatever. And then they have new books that people, you know, want kind of custom bound. And so I would meet these craftspeople like, you know, Joe Croft. I would meet Gidget McQueen, who's just, you know, kind of very involved in, you know, in the community. I got invited to a dance at the town. And it wasn't the town hall, but it was kind of the old dance hall on the second floor of one of their big buildings. So I went to the dance. I would meet, strangely enough, in Santa, Idaho, there's a guy named Jack Frost. I kid you not. His real name is Jack Frost. So I would meet Jack Frost. I would talk to Gidget McQueen. I would talk to people who they were like semi-professional rifle, you know, people, like who competed in competitions for, you know, how accurate you can shoot a rifle in a antique handgun and all, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, the people you encounter are pretty, pretty cool actually. And, it's very different from, you know, perhaps the, you know, the coasts that we sometimes find ourselves, or at least a lot of the population find themselves in. And so you do get a different flavor, and you talk about things like, you know, on the East Coast, the West Coast, you never talk about like how slow your internet access is, but they talk about it there because it's a big deal there. And so there's, you know, kind of issues and problems and concerns that you don't necessarily think about. I even encountered one of the people who was an influencer. Peter was an Elvis impersonator. Now,
wow.
This Elvis impersonator happened to be one of the mailmen in town. And so he was a U.S. postal worker. But when I met him, and they're like, oh, you got to go meet him. And when I met him, he came with his wife and his kid, dressed in his kind of Elvis impersonation outfit, big white kind of, I guess it's a jumpsuit. And so with all his kind of rhinestone studs and whatnot. And we just talked, and I said, how did you get into this? And, you know, he told me the story about how his father was a pastor and he didn't like rock and roll music and he had to hide the rock and roll music from his dad. Yet this, you know, kind of Elvis impersonator is very religious himself. He met his wife at church. And, you know, Oregon Public Radio got a sniff of it, and they started doing a story on it. I think, obviously, the local press started working on it. And then, CNN picked up on it. But it's just really kind of... it's really weird. I encountered my very first ghost in Santa, Idaho as well.
That's interesting. You encountered a ghost.
Yeah. And I would never say this before going to Santa, Idaho, but afterwards, I now believe in ghosts. So it's a gentleman by the name of Fred. I forget his last name, but Fred was the gentleman who actually built most of Santa, Idaho. He trained in a lot of raw materials to build roads and buildings and whatnot. He was the richest man in Santa, Idaho. And his personal home is now an inn on the top of the hill in Santa, Idaho. Now, I wouldn't, you know, kind of consider it like, you know, a mansion like you might see in Texas or something. But it was a pretty big house and converted to an inn. And when I was there in the winter, there was no one else staying at the inn. So the innkeeper said, you know, you can, you know, do you have a choice of rooms? Like, I said, I don't know. What's the best room? And they said, well, the best room is Fred's room. You know, who built the house and who built the town. I said, okay, well, I guess I'm going to stay in Fred's room. And I go upstairs, and Fred's room, you know, the door's open and everything. And I have my, you know, kind of big backpack and I put it all down and I close the door and then I'm, you know, washing up in the bathroom and all of a sudden the door just opens immediately. Your first instinct, you're washing up in the bathroom, so to speak, is, you know, I'm a little embarrassed. Like I'm in the bathroom here and the door to the room opens, but obviously there's no one in the whole place. So what's there to be embarrassed about? And I was like, okay, all right, well, let me just make sure I close this door properly now. And so I close the door properly. I make sure the lock stays, all that stuff. And I think I'm in bed either reading a book or on my laptop. And lo and behold, that door just pops right open and opens right out of the blue. And I'm like, this is weird. And then I get this kind of sense or whiff of a cigar. And I'm like, what is that smell? I'm like, who is smoking? Is the innkeeper, is that lady smoking a cigar? This place is really weird. And then I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm like, really weird. Hey, I'm the guy who renames towns. Like, well, that's not weird. Of course that's weird. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So the next morning, you know, the it's bed and breakfast type of inn. There's a, you know, small spread down there and the kind of older innkeeper, you know, we chit chat a little bit. And I ask her about this. I said, hey, you know, I got a smell, a sense of, you know, kind of cigars. You know, is there anyone else who kind of popped in later than me? And she said, oh, no, that's Fred. I said, what? She said, oh, no, that's Fred. His ghost, I think, is still around here. And there's been some pretty strange things that have happened. And she told me a few stories. And then I reciprocated and I told her the story about the door opening twice. And she just kind of smiled. She said, that's probably Fred. So, you know, when you decide to rename a town, you got to be pretty open-minded. And you're going to encounter a lot of things that you never expected. It's pretty fun, but at the same time, you know, there are definitely moments where you walk up to people and they're not, and you have a conversation with people and they're not that friendly. Yeah. Or they're very reserved. I remember even back in Halfway, Oregon, renaming the town there, boy, I was not a welcome visitor. I remember, you know, one of the kind of quote unquote influencers was the bank manager at US Bank, named Julie. And I was kind of introduced by the mayor around then. And I said, hey, you know, Mark Hughes, and, you know, here to kind of rename the guy behind all this controversy. And I said, so what do you think? Is, you know, you like it? You don't like it? Do you have any questions? And she's like, I don't like the idea. And there are a lot of conversations that go like that. And it's a little disheartening, but at the same time, you just kind of hang in there and, like Muhammad Ali, you just do a little rope-a-dope and you take the punches. And you just see if you can kind of wait it out. And lo and behold, a lot of the time, people change their mind. And that bank manager, Julie, she's like, it's, I met that guy. It's not so bad. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
But I tell you, Peter, one of the things we got really lucky with Santa Idaho and SecretSanta.com for the town naming or renaming, and this was just by sheer luck, was, so there's, you're probably familiar, and your podcast listeners are probably familiar with Dish TV. It's like, I think the largest or second largest satellite TV company.
Yes, of course.
In the world. Yeah. So Dish, they decided for some reason, I don't know why, and it was just kind of a weird timing thing. So right around the same time that, you know, kind of the renaming of Santa Idaho to SecretSanta.com Idaho was unfolding. And again, kind of like a slow reality show live unfolding, you know, in front of you for 6 weeks. In that period, Dish Satellite TV decided to rename some town called Clark, Texas. I don't know why they picked Clark. They should at least have picked a town with Dish or Windish or, you know, something, some version of Dish or cup or saucer or something. but they were attempting to rename the town of Clark, Texas to Dish, Texas, which they also succeeded at. But it was kind of, viewed as a little bit of a me too, because previously, you know, I'd renamed Halfway Oregon, Half.com Oregon. And now I'd, you know, we kind of started with SecretSanta.com Idaho and Santa Idaho, and it was a little bit viewed as an also ran. And I think it just wasn't as fanciful. Like, you know, there's that phrase, like, what's in the name? Well, everything's in the name. I think the combined kind of energy of that, like, not just, you know, kind of a fun, cool, kind of website like SecretSanta.com with some really neat technology that no one ever really thought of, but here's this big, huge publicly traded company trying to kind of, you know, kind of take a page from the fanciful nature of doing some different things rather than, you know, blowing a bunch of cash on a Super Bowl ad.
Right. Right. I want to ask you, when you mentioned some of the pushback, I think Franco had mentioned to me that, did you have like a documentary filmmaker, you know, go to town with you, you know, with some barroom scenes and so forth?
We did. I started out with my little kind of Sony Handycam, and then, someone else kind of got interested in the project and kind of joined with another camera and whatnot. And we started, we thought this time, you know, renaming Santa Idaho, wouldn't it be cool to have a documentary, you know, from the, literally from the inside view of how it was all done. You know, much like, let's say, you know, Aerosmith, like, the making of the album, you know, from Aerosmith, yeah, and, you know, kind of the cool inside, views. And so we started to do that. And one of the people from the entertainment industry, who, took a fancy to it was a guy named Jamie Gold. And, Jamie Gold, was, kind of a Hollywood agent. He represented, James Gandolfini from The Sopranos, and Jimmy Fallon slept on his couch for 6 months out in Los Angeles before Jimmy Fallon became Jimmy Fallon. And so he was, you know, he was an agent, you know, just kind of in between things. So he's like, hey, this sounds pretty cool. You know, let me get involved in it. And so we would send him some footage and he would, you know, kind of start to kind of bulldoze at it, if you will. You know, kind of some of the footage, and then a strange, you know, funny thing happened on the way to the forum, so to speak. So Jamie Gold was, you know, at the time when we were, kind of shooting just the raw footage. He decided to enter the World Series of Poker, and because he was, you know, he was a little bit of a poker aficionado. So he said, all right, I'm gonna try and win it. And it apparently it's like, I don't play poker, but apparently it's a big deal. And he became the champion, not like one of these kind of regional things, but he went all the way and he won, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and came out of nowhere. And I think part of it was, at least for him, no one understood his style of play, so he could kind of hide a lot. So then he won the World Series of Poker, and he's like, hey, you know that documentary that we were working on? I think I'm going to go be a professional poker player, so see ya. So we had all this footage, and we still have all this footage, and, you know, maybe someday when, you know, when I got a little bit more time, we'll resurrect it, maybe not 15 years later, but 30 years later, who knows. But there's some kind of inside footage and of the renaming of Santa Idaho, you know, kind of somewhere on the shelf, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of kind of different weird tangential kind of stories associated with this. It's not for the faint of heart to go rename the town. And also, you know, being first or perhaps second, you can kind of get away with it. But the third or the fourth or the fifth time, it's like, that's not new. You know, news is new once or maybe twice.
Right. But,
yeah.
Right. Oh, well, that is fascinating, and to encounter, you know, the ghost of the town founder, among all the other personalities there to persuade a town to participate in something like this is, absolutely not for the faint of heart. I think you kind of answered what was my next question was going to be, like, which is about like how you compare the success. Obviously, there's the outcome of selling a half.com to eBay for extraordinary sum of money, but you know, just from the PR standpoint and those hundreds of thousands of people every day registering, how did you feel, you know, the outcome in those two really compared? And then how are kind of things different today compared to maybe the playbook you had for sparking a story 15 years ago?
Well, Peter, I'll take the second question first. In terms of the playbook, I think the playbook now versus then is perhaps characterized best by social media's kind of impact on the world. So again, when we were renaming both Halfway Oregon to Half.com Oregon and naming Santa Idaho to SecretSanta.com Idaho, you know, social media, Facebook, you know, Twitter didn't exist. And I think Facebook was only relegated to maybe, I don't know, 20 universities or colleges. It wasn't mainstream. So word of mouth and kind of the press pre-social media was far more important. And if you could get Oregon Public Radio and then CNN and then obviously the Associated Press, which went all over for Santa Idaho, and then for Halfway Oregon, the role of the media back then was just magnitudes more. And I'll tell you a funny story about the Halfway Oregon. We didn't want it to get out. Meaning my boss, Josh Kopman, strategically said, hey, listen, we want this all to happen upon the launch of the website. So you would go to half.com and it would say like, hey, we're, you know, coming soon. Now, difference with secretsanta.com is you could, it was already there and you could kind of sign up, log in, start a, you know, kind of Secret Santa gift exchange or Yankee Swap or White Elephant, like right away, no big deal. But with half.com, we wanted to kind of everything to happen upon launch because we thought, gosh, we don't want to shoot all our ammunition before the targets are in front of us. So it actually happened by accident. We started to try to softly and quietly pave the way, meeting the mayor of Halfway, Oregon, big guy named Ivan Crow, like 6'6", wow. A barrel of a chest, I think probably 270 pounds. I mean, the guy could crush me like a mosquito. So we tried to kind of, you know, soft pedal it there and, you know, keep, cause the whole concept of half.com was a secret. It was in stealth mode. And so, you know, one of the first, the very first trip, out to Halfway, Oregon, I sat down with Mayor Ivan Crow and we spent about 2 hours talking. And so I kind of, you know, popped, you know, the question like, well, what do we need to do next? And he said, well, city council is next. And I'm like, okay. He goes, there just happens to be a city council meeting tonight. And he said, if you want, I'll put you on the agenda and I'll just let you do your thing. You know, let you make your case and all that stuff. And I was like, that'd be great. And, you know, again, some of this is luck, Peter. And, you know, the moon and the stars, you know, perhaps tend to align a little bit. And I went over to, you know, the one bar in town across the street. And, you know, I ordered a sandwich and I didn't have any alcohol or anything. I wanted to be like prepped. And then right before the meeting, I walk right over the city council and then, you know, it was winter time and there was ice and snow and I slipped on the ice and like fell on my back and hit my head. I was like, either this thing is going to, and I was just looking up the stars. I was like, this is either going to go really well or really bad. And so we made our case, but again, we were, you know, it was different with Halfway Oregon versus Santa Idaho in that we were trying to keep it under wraps until we were ready. And so we made the case and, you know, during the city council meeting, there's this guy who strangely enough happens to be a software coder. He's like, and I mentioned our VC firm, at the time, our boss, Josh Kaufman, you know, didn't have us. He created his own VC firm first round, subsequently after, but our venture capital firm, was, you know, kind of known in the East Coast. And I said, you know, people asked me, they said, well, how do we know you guys are for real? And I said, well, you know, our venture capital firm is XYZ. They, you know, later, you know, went on to have some notoriety and whatnot. And then the software developer who goes to a city council meeting in Halfway, Oregon, he just happened to go there. And he's like, I know these guys, this guy's for real. So we tried to keep it under wraps. And then I said, listen, I hate to kind of push you guys, but I kind of need some early indication, like, if you're interested or not, because I got to find another town. And the next town on my list is Halfa, Iowa, Halfa, Iowa. And since I mentioned that, Peter, everyone kind of prompt, you know, it, like the spirit of competition. Well, wait a second. I don't know. Yeah. Sure if we want to lose out to, you know, some podunk half a town in Iowa. And so I noticed a little bit of a shift there and, you know, it was just on the drive back, I had to drive to Boise, 4 hours back to Boise to catch a flight back to the East Coast. I think actually I might have been going to the West Coast. to film some TV commercials. I was. And so on all these kind of things, you kind of signals, you wonder if they're from God or, you know, from, you know, demons or whatever. And on the way back, I missed a deer by about a foot.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, icy roads, dark, no lights. And I'm like, I don't know what to think of this. Like, is this like, you know, God's on my side and he's, you know, giving me a helping hand? Or is it like, you better watch out because something bad is going to happen really soon. And then I was on my way to film some, you know, TV commercials. So we were kind of launching with the town renaming and getting that ready. And I didn't, again, all these things happen, like you're out in the middle of like nowhere with poor internet access, no one's talking to you. And then back at, you know, HQ, you know, things are happening. And so, you know, with Half.com and Halfway Oregon, it turns out that the town, just lo and behold, called the Philadelphia Inquirer. They said, we have some young man here who claims he's from Half.com and he's trying to buy our town and rename our town. Can you validate that this company is for real and legit and all this stuff like that? And so, you know, they called the city desk at the Philly Inquirer. And then the Philly Inquirer goes, and we'd had some kind of local Philadelphia, you know, press. Our founder, Josh Koppelman, took a company IPO before. So he was known quantity. So they just pick up the phone and call Josh Koppelman and say, Mr. Koppelman, we just got a phone call from a very small town in Halfway, Oregon, claiming that you're trying to buy their town, rename their town. We'd like to have your comment on this. And by the way, is this for real? And so he's like, listen, I cannot comment on this. I'm going to need to call you back in 10 minutes. And then he calls me, like, I'm out in, you know, Los Angeles about to shoot some TV commercials. Strangely enough, one of the TV commercials, one of the stars of the commercials, the lab nerd from NCIS with the black hair, Polly Perrette, before she became famous. But so I'm out there and I'm, you know, Time Magazine just announced that Jeff Bezos was the man of the year. Like, you know, I left this big corporate, you know, kind of career track. And I'm just kind of wondering to myself, like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, is this all going to work out? Is this the worst career choice of my life? And just, you know, you have moments of doubt. And it was just one of the kind of, you know, reflective moments of doubt. And then I get a call from my boss. And, what the heck is happening? You know, this is not supposed to get out. Now I'm in big trouble. I'm in really big trouble because you don't want to shoot all your ammunition before the targets are ready. And then like, oh, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm going to get fired. And so we decide, okay, well, let's come clean and let's come out with our own press release, because we're not so sure like what the Philadelphia Inquirer will write. Will they write it correctly? What's right. their side of it? So, you know, on a Friday afternoon at like 5 or 6 o'clock, we issue a press release, which is the worst thing to do in the world. Cause no one picks it up. Everyone's, you know, happy hour, all that stuff, weekends here. Yeah. And, the weekend goes by, nothing, you know, I'm in trouble. I'm probably going to get fired by my boss, Josh Koppelman. I'm feeling like, oh, this is the end. I'm about to spend $750,000 filming TV commercials. I'm like, this is just, I'm going to get fired. And then Monday morning, we're on the way to film TV commercials and, you know, in the rental car and all that stuff like that. And I look down my phone and it's ringing. And it's my boss, Josh Koppelman. I'm like, oh, darn it. Here we go. And it's Monday, like, I think, you know, 7 o'clock, maybe West Coast time, 10 o'clock East Coast time. And so Josh says, did you know we're on the cover of USAtoday.com? I'm like, what? And he goes, we have a website, but there's nothing on the website. Our website is starting to just escalate like nobody's business. Yeah. He said, ABC, Good Morning America is now doing a story like as we speak. I'm like, oh my, and I still don't know what to think. I'm like, am I getting fired because we're shooting all our ammunition before the targets are ready? But he's ecstatic and he's like, let's just run with it. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Nothing can get engineering and gear. Like,
oh yeah.
Floods of traffic.
And yeah, I mean, cause you don't know. And it's very similar to Secret Santa. Like I'm out here kind of, you know, a little bit in the dark, just trying to keep my head down and not lose the deal, so to speak. Yeah. Back at HQ, like things are happening and fortunately good things were happening with secretcenter.com. It was going from a couple hundred to 100,000 a day. Yeah. In terms of users, signing up, not just visiting, but, yeah. So you're just doing your thing and if you've got a good kind of CEO and who kind of pushes you to your max and perhaps makes you perform better than you yourself think that you can perform, which, you know, again, hats off to Josh Koppelman and my CEO right now. Here at C3 Metrics does the same thing with me now. You know, best thing a boss can do is, you know, kind of somehow motivate and tease out better performance than you think you could do yourself. And it works. It's fun when the outcomes are awesome. Now, Peter, I'll get to your comparison question. So that was kind of the second question. I will get to your comparison of the, you know, kind of two events. Now, I have this saying, after many, many years of renaming towns and life lessons of all sorts, that comparison is the enemy of joy. And that's actually a quote from JFK. And perhaps he ripped it off from somebody else, but comparison is the enemy of joy. It is perhaps something that I live by more and more. They're two different things, different times, different places. You know, can the outcome of one, you know, compare to the outcome of another? Certainly there are metrics you can use and whatnot, but at the end of the day, like, did you have fun and was it worth it? Was it a good result? Like, could it be gooder than good? Yeah. You know, a pitcher of lemonade or a pitcher of, you know, eggnog only fills so much, and the more you pour into that pitcher of lemonade or the pitcher of eggnog, at some point you kind of fill the brim and you waste more. But I think perhaps is, you know, did you fill the pitcher with eggnog and lemonade to the brim? I think in both cases we can say yes. And beyond that, you know, I think it's probably a good lesson for you know, or at least a good mantra for a lot of Americans. We tend to compare things all the time. Like, was my Christmas gift as good as your Christmas gift? Well, let's not get into that.
Yeah,
comparison is the enemy of joy.
Yeah, that's a great quote. And I mean, what we've heard today are two incredible stories, and I think that you know, full of details, completely unique, you know, to each other, and but really show your I'd say dedication to you know, spreading the word, innovative marketing, entrepreneurship, making things happen for a CEO or business owner. You know, that is for sure a constant.
Absolutely.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing these great stories with us and being here today. I really admire your creativity in marketing, and I'm sure we could probably keep you here all day to follow up on the next 15 years in your career with similar stories. But I know you only have so much time for us, so we really appreciate your time. We are so fortunate to have a thought leader and marketing guru, author of the book Buzz Marketing, with us today, Mark Hughes. Mark, thank you so much.
Awesome. Peter, thanks so much. Keep on elfin, keep on Secret Santa.
All right, you got it. Thank you.